Now, church, I'm gonna need you to help me this morning because I'm used to being at home on Sunday mornings. And in Kalinga, we don't have dead church Sunday mornings. We do not have dead church. There is worship going on. There are people that are excited. And I am going to need you to be excited. I feel like I'm at home, but I want to make sure that I really feel like I'm at home on a Sunday morning.
Well, don't get us nervous either. Hallelujah. Go for it.
Praise God.
What's that?
Everybody say, go for it, Brother Salem.
There are people come into Kalinga and their guest preachers come into Kalinga and preach and say, man, Brother Sailor, we've never seen a church that gets with it on Sunday morning like that church does. Hey, it's Sunday morning. Let's get with it. Hey, it's Sunday morning. Let's let the neighborhood know the apostolics are in heaven's service and we're ready to have a move of God. And we want to see some people get something from Jesus this morning. Come on, this ain't time to sit around and look. This is time to say, I'm going to be an active part. I'm going to be an active ingredient in what it is that God wants to do. I believe God wants to fill souls with the Holy Ghost this morning. I believe that God wants to do something great this morning. I believe that the Holy Ghost wants to not only move in the sanctuary, but I believe that the Holy Ghost wants to move in the Sunday school rooms and talk to kids and touch kids and let kids realize, you know what? I can have a relationship with God. Oh, Jesus. God, we love you. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Oh, Jesus. God, I love you. The 16th chapter of the book of Acts, please. I am just so grateful to be here. I love your pastor and his wife and family very much. I enjoy talking with him. He inspires me and challenges me. And I know that you folks have been so gracious because I know that I'm not half the preacher that he is. But I'm trying. Acts chapter 16. Verse number 22 says, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I'd like to preach this morning on this thought: creating an atmosphere for apostolic revival. Creating an atmosphere for apostolic revival. Can you help me pray right now? Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you, God, would move. Lord, I pray, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that you, Lord, would touch. My God, Lord Jesus, we lift you up and we praise your name. I pray, Lord, that you would touch somebody's heart today. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would fill somebody with the Holy Ghost today. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would renew somebody in their experience in you today. And for it, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I believe that the heartbeat of God is a heartbeat of revival. I believe that God wants to do something great in these last days. He wants to pour out His Spirit in these last days. You know, we are living in a day, in a time, in an age where it is actually an in vogue thing. I can remember just a few short years ago when I was first filled with the Holy Ghost, and I experienced change in my life, and I experienced change, and the change not only went to me, but it went to my family, and it bled over, and things began to take place, and things began to take root. And I can remember when I would tell somebody. I remember I was a, you know, I still owned the gym there in Maryville, and I used to be involved in personal training. And what's that? It was a Gold's Gym. It was the largest international gym chain. You know, when I came in, I used to rub shoulders. I've said it before, I guess I'll say it again, because there's some who have not been here the last time I was here, but I used to rub shoulders with Arnold Schwarzenegger and the elite of the bodybuilding world and the elite of the bodybuilding community. I was 265 pounds when I came to God, and I had a testimony. I still have a testimony. I'm grateful for what it is that God has done. I'm grateful that the Lord came walking down the dusty road of this old boy's life and said, you know what, son, you might think that you have life, but I want to give you not just life, but I want to give you life more abundantly. Come on, some of you in here, you're just content with having life in here. Some of you in this place, you're just content with hanging on. I don't want to just hang on. I want to have the abundant life that the Lord wants to give you. Some of you need to reach out and say, you know what? I'm tired of tradition. I'm tired of just hanging on. I'm tired of just riding on my mom and dad's coattails. I'm tired of all of it. I want Jesus to give me something this morning that's going to be new. It's going to be fresh. It's going to be holy. And it's going to be God. I want to bust out this morning. I want the Holy Ghost to break out in my life. I need, before this church can experience revival, we've all got to experience revival in our own hearts and lives. Oh, God. So, I used to be involved in personal training, I used to go into this fella's home. He was Jewish. His name was Herb. And Herb was a lawyer, and he was not just any kind of lawyer. He was a good lawyer. And there was just something about that man's eyes. I just thought, man, I wouldn't want to be on the other side of the table facing old Herb Lasser, because there was just something about his eyes that he would look at you. And so I'm training Herb, and I think I've been training him for a couple of weeks. And I thought, God, I got to talk to Herb. You know, I've got to talk to Herb. I can remember one time in particular that I was in his home, and he had little fruit and stuff just hanging all over the place, and I mean, it was just like grapes and it was just dangling from his ceiling, and I said, Herb, what is all of this stuff? And he said, well, we are getting ready for one of our Jewish feasts. It's the Feast of the Ingathering. And this is just a part of it all. And I said, man, I said, Herb, you actually believe all that stuff? He said, yeah, you better bet your bottom dollar I believe it. And then all of a sudden I realized, you know what, Herb, being a Jew, I thought, I've got to talk to him and I've got to explain to him that I've got the spirit of the God of the Old Testament inside of me, that the God of the Old Testament robed himself in flesh and walked amongst us, and he healed our sick, and he preached the good news, and then he suffered and died, and then he filled us with his spirit. And I was trying, you know, I thought, how can I tell this guy? And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to go for it. I'm just going to be blunt. And all of a sudden, I said, Herb, I need to tell you something. And I should have told you about it a couple of weeks ago. But I need to tell you. And I said, I've gone to church and I've had an experience that you might be interested in. And he looked at me and he said, why in the world would you think that I would want to be, why would you think that I would want to have the experience that you have? Your church is nothing more than a social club. That's all it is. And I said, Herb, what are you talking about? You don't even know what my church is. You don't even know where I go to church. And he said, I don't need to know where you go to church. I don't need to know anything about what it is that you believe. I don't want to hear anything about it, because you people are not even in the truth. You don't even know the truth. And I said, no, Herb, you've got to understand. I really do have an experience. And he finally said, you know what? Let's just cut right to the chase. Let me just tell you why I don't believe that you've got anything. I'm just going to tell you why I believe that there are people that come, that go to your churches like yours. And all it is just a social experience. It's just a social gathering. It's just where people go and they come and they leave the same way that they come in, and they're not changed, and they're not any closer to God or anything like that. He said, and the biggest problem is you people don't even know what you worship. Don't you even realize that the Bible says that, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one? And he said, your churches don't even worship one God. Your churches believe that there are three gods. So I don't even want to hear anything about you. I don't want to hear anything about your church. And I sure don't want to hear anything about your experience. And I said, but Herb, you don't understand. I go to a church that believes in Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. But we know what our God's name is. His name is Jesus. It's Jehovah has become our salvation. And I've got the Holy Ghost, and I've spoken with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. And he said, that's real good, kid, but I don't want anything to do with it. And then he fired me. And then he just flat said, I don't need you anymore. You can go. So I left. But you know, I can remember, Brother Sagan, when I first came to church, and I would tell people that I got the Holy Ghost and that I spoke in tongues, and they would make fun of me, and they would say all kinds of things about the Holy Ghost and that experience. And you know, now I look at it so many years later, and now it's in vogue to talk in tongues. Now everybody talks in tongues. Now all of a sudden you tell somebody about the Holy Ghost, and they say, well, I've got the Holy Ghost too. And you say, you do? And then all of a sudden they start this, you know, I mean, you know, and it's just, you know, and you don't feel God, and you know, it just, you know, I'm just talking to you a little bit, because now it used to be that we were outcasts, but we're not outcasts anymore. It used to be that we were on the other, that you'd find our churches on the other side of the tracks, but you're not finding our churches on the other side of the tracks anymore. You're not finding those things on, because now it's cool to be a tongue talker. Now it's cool to say that you've got the Holy Ghost. But you know what? I'm talking about a Holy Ghost that changes you. I'm talking about a Holy Ghost that transforms you. I'm talking about a Holy Ghost that'll put a marriage back together. I'm talking about a Holy Ghost that'll get somebody off of drugs. I'm talking about a Holy Ghost that'll do something for you. Come on, let's love God. I want to create an atmosphere this morning for apostolic revival. Let's just ask the Lord to have His way. Let's just ask the Lord to touch us. Oh, God. He used to be on the radio here in Chicago. I don't even remember what the guy's radio program is called anymore, but you can't find him. But I can remember there was one day when I was still living here, his radio program was on, and there was a woman that called and said, I need help, and I need help now. And he said, okay, that's no problem. All you need to do is you just need to say this prayer. You just need to recite this prayer after me. And she said, but wait a minute, I've already done this. I've already said this prayer. You want me to say the sinner's prayer? And he said, yeah, that's right. She said, oh, I've said it. I've said it a couple of times, and I'm still mired in this sin. And he said, well, then there had to have been something different. There had to have been something wrong. You must not have said it right. You must not have prayed it right. Maybe it was, you know, I don't know what it is, but I'm telling you that if you say it this time, that you will be different and you will be delivered. What she needs is the Holy Ghost. What she needs to do is get baptized in Jesus' name. What she needs to do is give her life over to God. What she needs to do is get to a church that preaches the truth without fear or favor or anything else. And so she says, okay, all right. I have never, and this is no slap to anybody, but I've never heard the sinner's prayer. Brother Gary, I've never heard it. I don't know how it goes. I don't care to know how it goes, because you show me where it is in the Bible, and then we can talk. It's not found in the Bible. You can't find that kind of an experience in the Bible. But I can show you in the Bible where our experience is at. It's found in Acts, the 2nd chapter. You can go and you can look us up. It is found in the 2nd chapter of the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost fell. And they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. And they said, men and brethren, what is it that we've got to do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and to your children and all that are afar off. You can find our experience in the Bible. You can find our experience in the Bible. You can find this in the Bible. You can show your kids this experience in the Bible. When your kids have questions, you can take them to the Bible. And you can show them, listen, you're not an outcast. You're not a recluse. This is Bible, friend. This is in the Bible. So, am I right? So, I am just praying, God, somehow, let this guy say something to this woman so that she really can get out of this lifestyle. And no, he didn't. He had her say the prayer. And I just remember, I was just, man, I shut the radio off all mad, turned it on a little bit later, and he was just concluding the prayer. Say amen. Amen. Well, how do you feel? He said. And she said, well, I feel the same. I feel the same. I don't feel like I'm changed. I don't feel like I'm different. I feel the same. And you know what he did? He hung up on her. That was it. He hung up on her. Because his God wasn't strong enough to deliver her. You know, because his God wasn't strong enough to set her free. And I sat there and I remember I wept, you know, as I thought about it. And I thought, you know, God, you're strong enough to deliver anybody, no matter what it is. Listen, I'm telling you, I was hooked on every drug under the sun. I was hooked on every drug under the sun. I wasn't just hooked on drugs. I was hooked on all kinds of stuff. You know, you want to get into, you know, I mean, yeah, I'm steroids and marijuana. I mean, I used to smoke dope 5 times a day. You know, I'd get up at 5:30 in the morning. The first thing I'd do is reach for a water bong to get stoned. I'd go into, could you imagine working out with a guy that was buzzed out of his gourd? You know, I mean, my eyes, you know, are all slanted and all, you know, I'm putting Visine in there thinking that so nobody knows that I'm stoned, and I'm just kind of standing there, you know, just, guy's got 500 pounds on his shirt. And I'm buzzed out of my gourd, not even thinking about it, just thinking, man, I'm feeling all right. Man, I think about some of that stuff. You know, cocaine and drinking and popping Percodan and Demerol. And I mean, you name it, I took it. And if it, you know, whatever it was, I was just a pill popper. If it wasn't steroids, I mean, I always had to have something going in my mouth or in a part of my body that I don't want to say where it was going. And I came to church and I found out that the Holy Ghost was real. And I found out that this experience was true. And this experience was right. And I remember I came walking to an altar and I got filled with the Holy Ghost for the very first time. And after that first dose of the Holy Ghost, I never went back again and started doing it. You know, I didn't have to get up, Brother Gary, at 5:30 in the morning and reach for the water pong. I didn't have to go to bed the last thing doing, reaching for that pong again so I could go to bed stoned. I never did cocaine again. I never drank again. I never took steroids again. I never did any of those things. Why? Because I was in Christ Jesus. Why? Because I was baptized in the name of Jesus. I was baptized into Christ. I was a part of the family of became a member of the royal household of faith. And I became a new creature. And all those things that were old were passed away. And all those things that I never wanted to do, like go to church, like pray, like talk about God, all those things became new to me. And I started going for them. Listen, what would happen, young people, if you would let the Holy Ghost get a hold of you this morning? You can be changed. You can be different. I'm talking about creating an atmosphere for apostolic revival. I am preaching about creating an atmosphere that the Holy Ghost can move. God, I'm telling you, there's some people in here. You need the Holy Ghost. You can get the Holy Ghost this morning. You can find out that what it is that is in this place is real and true. I'm talking about a wife that hated my guts. I'm talking about a wife that used to pray me dead. I'm talking about a wife that used to say, I'm just hanging on until I get enough money saved up. And as soon as I get that money saved up, I'm going to dump you and I'm going to divorce you. I hate you. Bitterness. It wasn't her fault. It was my fault. And I came home that very first night after I got filled with the Holy Ghost and after I got baptized in Jesus' name. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I'm just talking. I'm not trying to meddle in your life. But you know how many people say they're Pentecostal? I'm Pentecostal. I'm Pentecostal. Well, why do you say you're Pentecostal? Because I've got the Holy Ghost. You know what? The Pentecostal experience didn't just stop with the Holy Ghost. On the day of Pentecost, it didn't just stop with the Holy Ghost. It had to move on. And I'm tired of people that are saying, yeah, I've tried Pentecost and it didn't do anything for me. How did you try Pentecost? Well, I got filled with the Holy Ghost and it didn't do anything for me. Guess what then? You didn't try Pentecost, because a Pentecostal experience is when somebody gets filled with the Holy Ghost. The true Pentecostal experience is when somebody gets water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and their sins are remitted and their sins are washed away. You haven't tried Pentecost if you haven't gotten in the waters of baptism. You haven't tried Pentecost. You haven't gotten a hold of the true Pentecost if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name. You really haven't gotten it. You might say you've got an experience, but you don't have the true Pentecostal experience. And I'm talking about creating an atmosphere that the Holy Ghost can move. Listen, if there's somebody in here, you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name. You need to be baptized in Jesus' name. I got the Holy Ghost first. I had an experience like Cornelius had in the book of Acts chapter 10. I got the Holy Ghost first. And man, I remember I looked at Brother Otano. He was crying. I was crying. I said, I've got what you got. I've got the Holy Ghost. I feel different. And I can remember somebody coming up to me saying, yeah, you've got the Holy Ghost, but it doesn't stop there. You need to get baptized in Jesus' name. And I went to the water and I got baptized in the only name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. I got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And I really, man, I felt like I was walking on cloud nine, Brother Segal, after I got the Holy Ghost. But you know what? We get excited. We get excited when people get filled with the Holy Ghost. And we should get excited when people get filled with the Holy Ghost. But you know what? It's just as exciting to see somebody go down in the name of Jesus Christ. It is just as exciting. The angels don't rejoice, Brother Segal, when a sinner gets filled with the Holy Ghost. But the angels rejoice when a sinner comes to repentance. The angels rejoice when a sinner says, you know what, God, I'm sorry. And then they get their sins washed away and the heavens rejoice. And the heavens declare that there is a God again. It If you've never been water baptized in the name of Jesus, then you owe it to yourself. Why? Because as light as I felt, Brother Sagal, as light as I felt with having the Holy Ghost, I felt like I thought I was walking on cloud nine. I thought it don't get any better than this. Man, that's it. Man, that's great. But no, they said, no, you need to get baptized in Jesus' name. You need to get those sins washed away. And I said, man, I can't wait. Let's get in there right now. And I got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And if somebody would have told me beforehand that I could have felt better, I would have told them, there's no way. I can't feel any better than I'm feeling right now. But you know what? After I got water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, I felt even better than I did when I got the Holy Ghost. Why? Because I knew that I was a new creature. Why? Because I knew that my sins were washed away. Why? Because I knew that I was different and I was changed, and the devil couldn't look at me any longer and say, guilty, guilty, guilty. You're guilty because of what it is you've done. Jesus stepped in and said, guess what? My blood is washed over him. He's not guilty by reason of the blood of the Lamb. We got people trying to claim not guilty by reason of insanity. I'm claiming not guilty by the blood of the Lamb of God. Man, I'm telling you, you come in and you're hanging down and you're hanging low. Why? Because sin is a weight that you cannot carry. Sin is a weight that you cannot carry. But I thank God, I thank God, I thank God that He provided a way of escape. There was only one way to get through the door of the ark. You couldn't get a sawzall and try to saw your way in. And that's what's happening. We've got people that have gotten spiritual sawzalls out and said, you know what? I'm going to take a detour through the book of Acts. We're going to go to the book of Romans. And that's where we're going to get our salvation experience from. Go to Romans chapter 10 and I can take you down the Roman road of salvation. Well, listen, I'm not knocking anybody that is doing anything like that, because they've had an experience like Apollos did, where Apollos thought that he knew, but then Aquila and Priscilla came and talked to him more perfectly about the way of God. And Apollos planted Paul, you know, and God gave the increase, and that man became a mighty man of God. He knew the scriptures. He became somebody that was strong in the church. Before you can get to Romans chapter number 10, you have got to get to Romans chapter number 6. When Romans chapter 6 tells us that we are buried with Him in baptism. We are buried with Him in baptism. We are buried with Him in baptism. Before you can get to Romans chapter 10, you have got to get to Romans chapter 8. And Romans chapter 8 tells us that if we don't have the Spirit of Christ, we are none of His. If we don't have the Spirit of Christ, we are none of His. So if somebody wants to lead you down the Roman road of salvation, then they need to take you through Romans 6, Romans 8, and then you can get to Romans 10 and understand why it is that it's in there. That's it. Man, I'm talking about a God that, man, I haven't even gotten to what I wanted to preach. I don't even know how much time I got left. I'm just talking about creating an atmosphere for apostolic revival. I'm just talking about creating an atmosphere that the Holy Ghost can move in. I'm just talking about creating an atmosphere. I'm talking about creating an atmosphere and creating a climate of deliverance in this church that people can come, no matter what the sin is, no matter what the problem is, no matter what the circumstance is. I'm talking about young people that have gone through so many things in their young lives. They have gone through more in their life than, you know, in their young life. They have seen more, they have done more, they have experienced more than I could have ever thought about experiencing and doing. I'm talking about young people being able to come to an altar and getting a true experience and a true touch from God. I'm trying not to slam on anybody's toes. I'm trying not to say anything, but man, I'm tired of talking to people that say they've got an experience with God when it don't meet out. Oh yeah, I've got the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I've got an experience with God, and they can still smoke, and they can still drink, and they can still cuss, and they can still do all that kind of stuff. You know, come on, that ain't an experience with God. That's an experience with formality. That's what it is. I'm talking about a God that can deliver and set you free. I guess Brother Brian must be in Sunday school this morning. He's a Sunday school teacher. We were selling Krispy Kreme donuts, he and I, outside of on the parking lot behind Home Depot. And Brother Sagal and I were driving the church van around, and everybody, I don't even remember how many we sold. We must have sold 6, 10 or something like that before we even got set up. I mean, people were following the van around saying, "Hey, stop, I want some of those donuts." So Brother Sagal went in and talked to the manager, and he sent Brian and I way back out onto the back 40. And we were sitting there. I think maybe we sat there for two, three hours, and we only sold 2, 3 dozen. And I thought, man, what is this? Everybody I'm calling, everybody else is blowing them out like hot cakes, and we're thinking, man, this just ain't going. And there was a guy that was walking. There where that Home Depot is, there's the Taco Bell and the Long John Silver's, and this guy, Brother Sagal, was big. I mean, this guy was huge. And I asked him if he wanted some donuts. And he said, "No thanks, I'm trying to cut down. No thanks, I'm trying to cut down." But then he's going into Taco Bell, you know, making a border run, getting all that fatty stuff from the Taco Bell, but he's trying to cut down on his calories, so he's going to watch his Krispy Kreme intake. And this guy was big. You don't ask Brother Brian how big he was. He'll tell you, this guy, I mean, he was big. I mean, he had that walk going, like, you know, his legs were so, I mean, I just, man, when I saw him, I saw me. Only I was bigger than he was. I mean. And I said, "You know what, Brother Brian? I'm going and giving that guy a church card. I'm going and giving that guy a church card. Here I am, fat, looking like a slob. And, you know, I got that apron. I'm trying to tighten it way up so my gut gets sucked in. So I'm looking at least like I'm, you know, not as bad as I really am." And the guy was there placing his order. And man, once I really got close up to the guy, he was taller than I was. And man, he was big. And I thought, boy, this is going to be nasty. And so I went into the bathroom, and I just wanted to make sure I didn't have any sugar on my hands or anything like that, you know. So I washed my hands, and I'm like throwing water on my face saying, come on, you know. It was like I was psyching myself up, like I was going to squat 1,000 pounds or something again back in the day. And I was like, "Come on, preacher, you can go." Well, you know, and I'm thinking, what in the world is this? Why am I afraid? So I finally said, "I got the Holy Ghost inside of me. I got no reason to be afraid. I haven't been given the spirit of fear. Man, I'm going out. All I'm going to do is, if he's going to punch me, I'm going to get punched for the name of Jesus and for the witness of Jesus." So I went walking up, and there the guy was getting himself a Pepsi. And I was thinking, man, you're drinking Pepsi. That's not very good for a, you know, a bodybuilder like that. I used to drink Diet Pop. And so he's filling it up. And I said, "Sir, I wanted to give you something. I wanted to give you something, and it's not a box of donuts. It's really something more than that." And I handed him the card. And all of a sudden, he sat there and he looked at the card. And the card said, "Experience Life." And his eyes got kind of big. And he opened the card up. And he started reading everything that could happen when you experience life, and everything that the church offered. His head was moving up and down, and I mean, and his eyes were getting bigger. And, you know, he kind of wasn't scowling and growling anymore. He was, you know. And then I thought, man, I guess this guy and I, we got a rapport going here, so I'm just going to go right on in. And I said, "Sir, I have been exactly where you are at now." And the smile left his face, and the scowl went back on. And he said, Just exactly where is that, may I ask? And I thought, yep, this is it. I'm going to get beat up. I'm going to be preaching tonight with a black eye. I just hope I have all my teeth. And I said, I know you can't tell right now, but I used to be bigger than you are. I used to be a competitive bodybuilder. And I just started to share with him my testimony. And I said, and then I experienced life. And I'm not the same any longer. And I don't have to stay behind that facade of a physique. And, I just started letting it fly. And, the guy just, he sat there and he still kind of had that scowl on his face. And I said, I just wanted to give you that card. And I hope that you look at that card, and hopefully someday, we're having service on tonight and we're having service on Sunday, and I hope to see you. And he's not here tonight, or he's not here today. I'm going to pray that God would talk to him and he would come tonight. But I said, I know that you're busy. He said, I've only got a half hour for lunch. And so I said, well, I just wanted to share that with you. I hope that it has helped you. And and he said, thanks. And so I walked out. And Brother Segal, as I started to walk out, as I started to open up that door and I started to walk outside, all of a sudden the scowl left the gentleman's face. And he got a big smile on his face. And he said, hey! And I turned around and I thought, man, this is it. Only I didn't see the scowl, I saw the smile. And he said, thanks for sharing with me the good news. And I said, you can have an experience with God yourself. And I turned around and I went back to the donut stand. And he got finished with his lunch and he came walking past. And he looked at us and he started laughing. He goes, hey, you guys, you better not be eating too many of those donuts. And I said, well, you don't have to worry about that. But I'm just saying, people are looking for something. They are looking for something. There are people that are in this place right now that are looking for something, because you realize that what it is that you've got isn't good enough. You realize that what you've got isn't good enough. And you can have more this morning. But the first wall that needs to drop is the wall of pride. We all have pride. We need to drop that wall of pride. We need to drop that hard guy or hard woman, hard girl attitude of, you know what, I don't need anything. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You may think that you've got your life by the seat of the pants, but you need God. And some of you in here realize that, you know what, my relationship with God is insufficient, and I know that God has more for me. I came walking into my bedroom after that night that I got the Holy Ghost, and there my wife was sitting there reading a book. And I looked at her and I told her, my life is not the same. I got the Holy Ghost. I got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. My wife looked at me and said, well, that's good. And just went back to reading. Now she says that I told her that she was going to hell unless she got the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. I don't remember that. Could have been selective memory loss on my part. I don't know. But the bottom line is, my wife came the next week and my wife was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And 4 weeks later, my wife got filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And a marriage that was on the rocks, a marriage that was doomed to fail and doomed to divorce, a son that was going to be doomed to having a parent at one house and a parent in another house, or maybe a parent on one coast and a parent on the other coast, that marriage was put back together. Why? Because of what the Holy Ghost can do. Your marriage may not be what it is that you want it to be right now, but I'm talking about a God. Your family life may not be what you want it to be, but I'm talking about a God that in one service can put it all back together. I'm talking about a God that in one service can put it all back together and can make your life right and can give you meaning and can give you hope and can give you joy and can give you strength. Man, I'm not even going to get to I'll just briefly tell you the points. I just want the Holy Ghost to fall. I want the Holy Ghost to fall in here. I want some people that are tired of saying, you know, I am tired of living like this. I am tired of living the lie. I am tired of, you know, trying to put up some kind of facade when I'm really not happy and I'm not finding the happiness that I thought that I would look, that I thought that I would get from the young man or the young woman on the street or the kids in the classroom or anything else. I'm not getting the satisfaction that I thought I was going to get from my job. The raise and the promotion wasn't what it was all cracked up to be. It's still missing. What happens when we, everybody in here, we are responsible for creating an atmosphere for apostolic revival. Every one of us in here. We can never sit there and think, Brother George, you know what? I'm tired today. And I'm going to let somebody else. I can let Brother Gary handle the worship. Or I can kind of let it go over. And kind of let my wife pick up the ball tonight because I'm tired. No. We're all responsible for it. We're all responsible for it. We all play a part in it. Every time we come walking into service, every time, I don't care if it's a Wednesday night, I don't care if it's a Sunday morning, I don't care if it's a Sunday night, I don't care if it's a Friday night youth service, I don't care what the service is, we need to have an attitude of, you know what, we are creating an atmosphere for apostolic revival. We are creating an atmosphere that the Holy Ghost can move in, and I am responsible. And it starts with me coming into the house of God, putting my problems down, laying my burdens down. Here Paul and Silas are at the midnight hour. They are in the darkest time of their life up to that point. They don't know what is going to happen to them. They don't know if they're going to lose their head at the guillotine. They don't know what is going to go on. But all of a sudden they sit there. They're beaten, they're bloody, and they're bruised. And they say, now what are we going to do? And Paul says, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to create an atmosphere for apostolic revival. We're going to create an atmosphere that the Holy Ghost can move in. How are we going to do that? I'll tell you how we're going to do that. We're going to do that by praying. We're going to do that by singing praises unto our God. And all of a sudden, as they started to pray and they started to sing praises, the prisoners heard them. The prisoners heard them. The prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. Come on, somebody. You might feel like you're at your midnight hour, but when you begin to pray and you begin to sing praises to God, it sends earthquakes into hell's very foundation. And the devil says, what's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. Somebody you thought you had is starting to pray and seek God. It shakes hell down to the very foundation. And immediately all the doors were opened. And everyone's bands were loosed. I'm talking about creating an atmosphere for apostolic revival. When we create that atmosphere, it shakes hell down to the very core. It opens up all the prison doors. And it unloosens everybody's bands. Somebody that came in here bound by tradition, guess what? As we start to worship and we start to praise God and we start to call on the name of Jesus, all of a sudden those bands of tradition are broken. All of a sudden those chains of tradition are broken. All of a sudden they realize, you know what? I can have something more. I can have something more. There's deliverance. That jailer had a spirit of suicide on him. He wanted to kill himself. Paul said, not so quick, Charlie. And he realized that there is so much more for me to have. I realize that there's so much more for me to have. I realize that there's so much more for me to have. I realize. People start asking what they need to do to be saved. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Oh, there it goes. It's the Roman road. Brother Saylor, what do you have to say of that? And it's found in the book of Acts. I'll tell you what I have to say about it. It says, verse 32, and they spake unto them the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night. He He washed their stripes. As soon as they started to expound the word of the Lord, He said, I've got to get you cleaned up. I've got to get you cleaned up. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. He washed their stripes. He said, now I've washed your stripes. Now I need to be washed. Now I need to be washed. And he was baptized. He and all his straight way. But it doesn't say that they received the Holy Ghost, and when he had brought them in his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced. There's only one thing that can make you rejoice like that, friend, and that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He set meat before them, and they were rejoicing. Why? Because they're not the same. Listen, I'm talking about the same God that is in this place and the same experience, and he's looking for some people that are willing to say, you know what? I want to create an atmosphere for apostolic revival. I know that the hour may be late. I know that I didn't get to preach what I really wanted to preach, but you know what? I believe that the Holy Ghost has moved, and I believe that the Holy Ghost is ministered, and I'm asking if everybody in this place right now would stand to their feet and begin to praise their God and begin to call out on him. If you've got to tell him, if you've got to ask him to forgive you, then just ask him to forgive you. Just ask him to forgive you. Just tell him that you're sorry for some of the things that you are doing and the things that you have done, and realize that I need more of you. God, I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot, but I just wonder if it's going to be, if revival's going to be, it's going to begin with me. I might not understand all of this. I might not understand all of this, but this one thing I cannot deny. I cannot deny that I am not feeling the power of God in this place. And I am going to respond to what it is that I am feeling. Come on, I just wonder if there's anybody in here. You're tired of living a lie. You're tired of just going through the motions. I just wonder if there's somebody in here. I don't care if you're a visitor. I don't care if you've been a member of this church since the day it was founded. I just wonder. I know that there are some people here that are spiritually looking for something more. I just wonder tonight if there is somebody that would be willing to step out of their pew and come to this altar and ask the Lord to create in me an atmosphere for apostolic revival. Create in me an atmosphere for deliverance. Create in me an atmosphere that the Holy Ghost can move in. Come on, you might not understand, but Jesus is in this house, and I just wonder tonight if you would come. I just wonder. Don't worry about what everybody is going to think of you. Don't worry about what everybody is going to say. Just come. Just come and say, God, I want to create an atmosphere that the Holy Ghost can move in. Come on. God. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, church. The Holy Ghost is in here. Listen. I need the church. Listen, I need the church right now. I know that you want to reach out for God right now. If there's some of you that you really do need to reach out to him, then you go ahead and you reach out. But there's some in here that are saying, you know what, I just want some more of God. I just want some more of God. Why don't you get some more of God after everybody else gets fed? The Holy Ghost wants to minister in here today. The Holy Ghost wants to minister in here today. I just wonder this morning if you would step outside of yourself right now and just allow yourself to be used by God and let the Holy Ghost minister to you and minister through you. God.